welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's good news to know that we're going to worship him always, not just in time, but also in eternity, when we behold him face to face in all of his glory. We will worship him always. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. We come, O God, and we bow down. And we bow down our heads, God. And we bow down our hearts. And we bow down our wills. And we say yes to you. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your spirit. Because we belong to you. Oh, hallelujah, God. So we do want you to have your way always with us, God. And God, we will in turn worship you always, always. Through the brokenness, through it all, we will worship you. Oh, hallelujah, because we know you're doing a perfect work. And hallelujah, God, you said in your time, you make all things beautiful. Even this, and even that, and even the other. You will make it all beautiful in your time. And we know for us, Lord God, who know you, you said that you do cause all things to work together for good to those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. Open up our eyes, God, and bless us to see you high and lifted up in the circumstances of our lives. And now, God, abide with us. Abide with us. We want to do nothing without you. So abide with us and minister this word to us, O God. This word that you have prepared before the very foundation of the world. Have your way. God, move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can indeed have your way. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, our souls do say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, and amen. And I do bless the Lord this morning, and I thank him for the hope that he's given us all on the planet Earth, because we all have another day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord for the privilege of serving you all today. Would you please turn with me to John chapter 12? John chapter 12. Praise the Lord. I'll be reading from the NIV translation this morning from John chapter 12. And I'll read verses 1 through 3, and then we'll go down through 12 through 19 in John chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. 17, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for us today, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The title of our message today is, Can You See Me Now? Can you see me now? Can you see me now? Everyone is preparing for the festival, the Passover, the time when the Jewish people commemorate God's deliverance from Egyptian slavery. Although he used Moses, God was the deliverer. Now picture this. Jesus has just completed his earthly ministry by raising Lazarus from the dead. And there's no doubt that the people were excited when they heard about this miracle. Crowds always show up for the spectacular, the extraordinary. What were the different words and phrases shouted to the Lord Jesus on that first Palm Sunday? Hosanna! Actually, save! Help! That's what Hosanna means. Hosanna! Save! Help! Then a chant from a psalm of ascent, Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And also blessed is the King of Israel. They are saying these things because they believe Jesus is the deliverer they have been waiting for. And he is. But they will soon learn he's not the one they want. They want to be free from Roman rule, from the politics of the day. So the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead caused them not to actually see him on a donkey. You see, in the ancient Middle Eastern world, leaders rode horses if they rode to war, but donkeys if they came in peace. Can we see you, Lord, apart from what we want from you? The God Questions commentator says, and I quote, mankind's primary need is spiritual, not political, cultural, or national salvation. Even as the coatless multitudes waved the palm branches and shouted for joy, they missed the true reason for Jesus' presence, end quote. As a result, later that week, they will be the same ones who will cry, crucify him. And so, Jesus will soon weep over Jerusalem. The account of that is in Luke 19, starting at verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. And the children within your walls, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of Jesus coming to you. Can you see me now? At the same time, the Pharisees are out to kill Jesus and are frustrated by his popularity with the crowd. But they weren't always like that. R.C. Sproul noted, and I quote, the Pharisees started in the intertestamental period as a group who were upset because the people were abandoning the purity of the covenant that they had made with God and were being lax in their morality and in their obedience to the commandments of God. Sounds fine, right? So the Pharisees sought to draw together and draw apart from the masses and to set a moral example. These were the conservatives of the day. They had a high system of honor and virtue, and they committed themselves to obeying God. In fact, one sect among the Pharisees believed that if they could keep every law God gave in the Old Testament for just 24 hours, then that would prompt God to send the Messiah to Israel, end quote. Yet the Pharisees knew that no matter where Jesus went, people were drawn to him and hung on his every word. This no doubt infuriated them. If Jesus had asked the Pharisees, "Can you see me now?" they would have had to answer no, because he was stealing their thunder, so to speak. They prided themselves in keeping every jot and tittle of the law, since that was what mattered most to them. It was their measuring rod for achievement. And by this, they could laud it over the people. Hearing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," undoubtedly proved a deafening sound to them, because their goal was obviously not on pleasing God, but rather being venerated by the people. Danger, committed Christian, danger. The Pharisees accused Jesus in John 9 of not keeping the Sabbath when he healed the blind man. And in Mark 2, when his disciples out of hunger were plucking ears of corn on the Sabbath, Jesus responded, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." In the midst of the world's pandemic, there are no palms to give out today. And just what are their significance to the believer, to the unbeliever? A good luck charm for another year? Yeah. A symbol of remembrance of our Savior's impending suffering? I don't want anybody to raise their hands anywhere, wherever we are. I just want you to think about this question. How many times have we Have we ever, when we saw our palms at our homes, wherever we had them, behind a religious picture, by a cross, whatever, have we ever looked at this palm and thought about our Savior? Or thought about his impending suffering? Is right, Deacon Lily. What about this? I was thinking about the statistics concerning Palm Sunday. I said, you know, with people wanting to go out and get their palms. So I looked it up, and you know, you can pretty much find everything on Google. Sure enough, Brother Lynn Wilson did the statistics. And do you know that Palm Sunday is the third most popular Sunday in Christendom, with the third highest attendance? And you could look it up to find out what's number one and two. But you know how it is on Palm Sunday morning. I gotta go get my palms, some think or say as they hurry out of their homes Palm Sunday morning. Religious neighbors say as they wave to us on our way to church, "Don't forget my palms." What exactly is a palm? One's used primarily by churches is a cabbage palmetto palm from a palm tree. And then the purpose of a palm tree was found in Wikipedia. It's a palm branch is a symbol of victory, triumph, peace, and eternal life, originating in the ancient Near East and Mediterranean world. A palm branch was awarded to victorious athletes in ancient Greece, and a palm frond, or leaf, or the tree itself, is one of the most common attributes of victory personified in ancient Rome. When the people threw their palms before Jesus, it was to show him honor. They believed him to be their long-awaited deliverer who has come as a representative for God to vindicate them from their oppressors. The palms used on that day would later that week become symbols of their disappointment as they saw them scattered and drying in the streets. What's our mood when our prayers are not answered as we would like? The lack of palms today, because of the pandemic, may represent for some a sense of hopelessness as we experience this as yet another casualty of COVID-19. However, our Bible can give us hope if we let it. Psalm 51, 57, 1 says, "Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, For in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until this disaster has passed. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Don't run to the market. God got you hooked up. Your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of. And some of us are in need of less bread. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? But God, some have died. Well, according to Hebrews 9:27, they did not just die, but they kept an appointment set by God. For it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But so many, all at one time, it is an appointment that they had to keep with our sovereign God. We sang about his sovereignty. He is sovereign. He can determine who lives and who dies and how many, at what time, and in what day. So we don't look at that and say, oh, our God is somehow impotent because we see so much death? No. His sovereign will is still yet in effect. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. God said his word is not going to return to him empty, but it is going to accomplish what he set it out to do. And he said it is appointed unto man once to die. And that's an appointment we're not going to be early for. And we're not going to be late for. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Psalm 46:1-10 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. He says, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. In the midst of the pandemic, I will be exalted in the earth. Again, our text today states, starting in verse 12, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. These words are addressed to Jesus as the King of Israel. And it is to him they are crying out indeed. Help! Save! Hosanna! Hosanna! This is the cry going out today. Hosanna! God, help! Save! You are the one who we believe has come in the name of the Lord, come representing him to deliver us. We believe you are our king. You're coming in peace? What kind of deliverer are you? What about us? What do we believe about Jesus? Do we know that our Jesus, our Savior, is also the King of Israel? Do we know today, saints, that John 4:22 teaches that our salvation is of the Jews? Are we aware that he came to them first? Do we know that the majority of the first century Christians were Hebrews? Christianity is rooted in Judaism indeed. And so we have a Jewish Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, so there's no place for anti-Semitism in Christendom. Now, however, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for John 1, verses 11 through 13, which says he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. The question today is, can you see me now? Jesus asks. Without any palm branches to take home? Or even to go somewhere and pick them up? Will your home still be safe without that piece of palm around somewhere? Do you regret throwing out that old piece not too long ago? Can you survive until Palm Sunday 2021 without a piece of a palm branch? There was an article in the Baltimore Sun written by Alyssa Matt Samuels in 1994 entitled "Florist Puts the Palm in Palm Sunday Services," where she went on about how churches in that area depended on a particular florist to obtain their palms for Palm Sunday. Well, or there's an old saint, she'd say, well, no florist is going to put the palm in Palm Sunday this year. Not in 2020. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got good news, saints. Not only are we going to be just fine without that piece of palm, but we will never see it the same way again. The Apostle John wrote more than the Gospel of John, and he wrote a book that has acquired for him the title The Revelator. And he wrote it while exiled on an island. In it, he tells us of another Palm Sunday, if you will. In Revelation 7:9, it says, "There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. These palm-bearing saints will shout, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' That's the day that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you see me now? Will no longer be a question because we shall behold him." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a time. The songwriter said that he didn't know what he was going to do when he saw him. Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I be able to speak? What is going to happen? I can only imagine when I stand before the King of Kings and behold him in all of his glory, and we find our salvation culminated on that day. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Now, to those of you who are here today or hearing this word, you don't have to wait to bow the knee out of compulsion. But today, unbeliever, you can bow the knee willingly. Then you will be able to join the writer of the Hebrews and exclaim, "But I see Jesus." Will you stand as we give the invitation? God, today, whatever day it may be, when someone you have listening to this message hears your voice, hears you knocking at the door of their heart, help them to know that that day, just as this day, this is the day. Behold, this is the day of salvation. Now is the time. And the day that you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And of all days and all times, in the year 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, this is not a time to play with your soul. It's not your life that's in jeopardy. So don't worry about the virus. It's your soul that's in jeopardy today. Can you say today, "It is well with my soul"? Or can you say, "I think it's well with my soul"? My first pastor, the late Timothy Ruffin, said, "I don't have a think-so salvation. I have a know-so salvation." And so if you're not absolutely, positively, without a doubt, sure that to be absent from this body one day you will be present with the Lord, then today is the day for you to give your heart to the Lord. And if you are saved or you've gotten saved in the midst of this pandemic where churches have been closed, your church has been closed, your neighborhood church was closed, first of all, you don't have to be at a church to get saved. God is everywhere present at the same time. So whether you're in your kitchen, your living room, in your car, all you have to do is pray that prayer. God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. Will you please come into my life? Forgive me for my sins and bless me to become part of your family. It's as simple as that. It's not so much in the words that we say as it is in what's going on in our hearts when we say them. Make no mistake about it. Today is the only day that we know we have. Don't trifle with your soul. Praise the Lord.
Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today.